inculcate in your children and in yourself love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Surah Yusuf, chapter of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, the chapter of Joseph. We can also say Joseph because he's also a prophet that's also mentioned in the books before the Quran, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, in the Bible, for example. And you'll see why he's an important prophet alayhi salatu wa salam over the next few weeks, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. So try and come every week, Sunday, make an effort. Don't fall out, don't get lazy. You will have an engagement with the Quran. You will have an experience with the Quran like none other, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. This is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this chapter is a Makkan chapter. In other words, it was revealed before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkatul Mukarrama. Makkatul Mukarrama and in Madinatul Munawwara, the life experience of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba who were with him was very, very different. When you know the difference between a Meccan experience and a Medinan experience, even if you don't know which chapter the Quran is revealed in, you'll know from what Allah is talking about that this is a Meccan verse. One clue is that in a Meccan verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give ahkam, He doesn't give rulings. He doesn't tell you about Islamic rulings that we do to our children when they go to madrasa. Allah teaches you about Him. He talks about Him. He talks about what you already know. He talks about the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In other words, He's bringing you closer to Him. Then later on in Madinan verses, He tells you about ibadat, how to do politics, how to do jihad. All of these things come later on. Unfortunately, even educated people that I meet at universities, they know much about ahkam, but they don't know much about ibadat in terms of akhlaq, in terms of aqidah. So when we teach our children, this is my personal view, and ulama will have different views, is that inculcate in your children and in yourself love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. Explain to them that they must love Allah and why they must love Allah. And you're going to say to me, Maulana, how do I do that? The question itself tells me a lot about you. Because that means you have to learn yourself. How do I have love for Allah in my heart? How do I have love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my heart? Because if you don't know how to do something yourself, how are you going to teach other people? So you have to inculcate love for Allah, reflect upon Allah's ayat, reflect upon why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very, very important. And you have that love inside of you, and then you share that love with other people. So this is a Makkan surah. In other words, it was revealed early on in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of his prophethood. Okay? So Allah begins. Let's go into the surah straight away, because otherwise we will talk forever and we won't get into the surah. Alif Lam Ra, tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. Alif Lam Ra, this appears, or similar letters appear elsewhere in the Quran. Alif Lam Mim, Tasi Mim. Much ink has been spilt, volumes have been spilt by ulama in terms of what it means. In short, they are called the hurufi muqatta'at because they are independent letters, and Allah knows best what it means. So Allah is also showing to us, Allah is making ishara to us, that even though we have some knowledge, Allah has all knowledge. So even before you go into Surah Yusuf, Allah is teaching you, don't come here with pride, thinking that you know everything. Sheikh Harun, Maulana Harun, I know Surah Yusuf, we used to read it when we were children, and we watch it on YouTube with our children, and I have nothing to learn. Allah says, no, you come here, and you read the Quran like you've never read it before. You approach the story like you've never read it before. That's a position of humility, like you've never heard it before. And if you do that, you'll grasp onto something that will be beneficial to you, inshallah ta'ala. Then Allah says, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينَ. These are verses of the clear book. Tilka ayat, signs. Ayat means signs, but here it means verses. Let me tell you something. I was doing this experiment with Safiya and Khadija just before I came here, before they went to bed. I was saying to them, because I know my children are going to school, and I know they are being secularized. I know that there is a distance between them and Allah being created, so I want to make sure that that distance is removed. So I said to my daughters that, can you see Allah? You answer the question, can you see Allah? Can you see Allah with your eyes? How do you know He exists? Somebody will say, Maulana Harun told me, that's why. That's not an answer. Or you will say, it's in the Quran. That's not an answer. How do you know Allah exists? Signs, effects. We, by our very nature, by our very existence, a child recognizes that from the effect, there is a cause. From the sign, there is a cause. My daughter, they were sitting on the bed. We were doing ta'lim on the bed tonight because I had to put them into bed to get here on time. So I said, this bed, where did it come from? My Khadija is very chalak because she's clever. So she said, Allah made it. I said, no, that's cheating. That's shortcut. So I said, where did this bed come from? She said, somebody made it. A tree grew one day. So we were having this. This is how you should teach your children. A tree grew one day from a seed. And there was a carpenter. He carved it and he cut it. But I said to them, Safiya, Khadija, Hala, you did not see the carpenter. You did not see the tree. So how do you know? How do you know that someone made this bed? You never saw the bed. Aapne dekha bed ko? This chair that I'm sitting on. If I say to you, this chair disappeared. You say, Maulana, you need to get your head checked. Sahih hai ke nahi? Sahih hai nahi? Everything in your life, it's just that you don't think about it this way because you're habituated to it. Aapko aadat ho gaya. Everything in your life has a cause. Everything. And my daughter, by just saying intuitively that somebody made the bed, somebody carved the bed, somebody collected the wood, somebody, how, what sense is she using? This one here. She never saw the carpenter. She never touched the carpenter. She never see all of these things. But from experience, she knows her mantiq, her logic, her reasoning, which all of you have, even though you haven't studied it. All of you know that nothing comes into existence from nothingness. It must have a creator. So we see everything through its effects. We see everything through its signs that there was a creator. Even your car that you drive, it didn't just appear. Somebody made it, right? But there has to be somebody who made it right at the beginning. So somebody made the engine, somebody made nuts and bolts, somebody got the metal. Eventually, there must be someone who was not created himself. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very simple reasoning. Isn't it simple? Because nowadays people ring me, Maulana, we have children, they have crisis in faith. People don't understand how to believe in Allah. They don't understand how to do basic reasoning. I said, brother, it's so simple. But I don't know why people don't talk about these things. So it's intuitive. Allah built it within you. It's there. But because as parents, we fail in our responsibility towards our children and other reasons, that happens. So can you see, it's very simple reasoning. It's very intuitive. It's so obvious, you don't even know it's there. But I've told you about it. Did you ever think about it this way? Some of you might have done because you've heard me before. But it's simple reasoning. Allah exists. There must be a creator. In the same way, when you see effects, Allah is telling you in the ayat, look at the ayat in this way. There is a creator for everything. Right? Especially because we live in a secular, liberal world. I don't want to use offensive terms because I get so annoyed with it. You know, as someone who works in a secular, liberal university, I see it every day. I see what it does in children. I see it with my own eyes. Astaghfirullah. I see it with my own eyes. It's not something that I've read in books and Maulana Harun is just making these things up. I read the Quran and I read Kufr at the same time in these other books. And I see what's happening to our children day in, day out. Even Muslims themselves don't realize it. The first stage, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says, for being a good scholar is to know there is a disease. To know that there is a bimari in our communities. If you don't even realize it, then you're in big trouble. If you don't know that you have a sickness in your heart, you're never going to get cured. If you go to a doctor and a doctor says, aapke paas cancer hai, Allah protect us. Huh? And you say, nah, I'm fine, there's nothing wrong with me. Are you ever going to be cured? But when you realize that there's a problem, then you can work on the solution. There's a solution for everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tilka ayatul kitabil mubeen. Mubeen, we often use it for names, from the word bayyin, clear. The Quran is clear for those who want to seek truth in Allah's speech. the most beloved thing to Allah is His speech. He revealed His speech to us. Allah revealed His signs. Beautiful. The Quran is beautiful. Allah is giving you His signs. And when you look at the signs in a poetic way, you are seeing Allah. You know, when you think about Allah's signs, you see Allah everywhere. That is why those who truly love Allah, they see the signs of Allah everywhere. We say, oh, we see the effects of Allah. But true people, they see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the signs, they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. Jalla wa ala. So the Quran is telling you, use your senses and come to realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bayyin. The Quran is very, very clear. Then Allah says, Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Yeah. The second verse. We have revealed the Quran in what language? Arabic language. Arabic language. La'allakum ta'qilun. Beautiful. So that you might think about it. So you might understand. Aql. Aql is a gift that Allah gave only to human beings. Only human beings have this intelligence. You're able to think. You're able to abstract. You're able to theorize. You know when you're doing mathematics in school and you hate it, right? Many of us, right? That's, you know, the formulas that you have to do and these atoms and everything else you have to do in school. Only you're able to think like that. And the intellect is such a powerful gift, by the way, that it allows you, listen to this, it allows you to gain mastery. It's not about physical strength. If it was about physical strength, the lion would rule over you. If it was about size, the elephant would rule over you. If it was about potency, the snake would rule over you. But we go to the zoo to see them. It's because of this. We're able to think, we're able to capture them, we're able to think, scheme, plot, do plans, organize. Allah has given us this gift. So a person who doesn't use their brain, if you like, who doesn't think for themselves, is showing ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that make sense to everyone? You're supposed to think for yourself. You're supposed to use your brain. Allah gave you this gift. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. This Quran also is called a Kitab al-Mubin, just to go back to the first verse, because it makes everything clear for you, gives you right guidance. You should never approach the Quran, by the way. Woe betide to that person. Woe betide is old school English. Woe betide to that person. Yeah. أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى ثُمَّ أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى. Who approaches the Quran, who approaches the Sunnah, simply with their ideas. You go to the Quran to be enlightened. You don't bring your ideas to the Quran. What do I mean by that? Lots of people, they look into Quran and they find, because they want to attack somebody, they want to attack a group or a sect or whatever, they look into the Quran, they find the ayat and say, oh, this Quran ayat is for you. Or they look in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, they find the hadith on sunnah.com and they say, this hadith is for you guys. This represents you. The Quran and Sunnah is not to be used in that way. That's disrespectful. That's bad adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We approach the Quran and Sunnah to learn. It's light and it's guidance. Does that make sense? It's very, very important. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. In the Quran, Allah will tell you what's permissible, what's impermissible, what you can do, what you can't do. Now, for most of us living in a world where we are told day in, day out, that you can do with your body whatever you want, it's your life, do whatever you want. Isn't this true? Even if it's not told to your face, it's told to you in subliminal ways. It's your life, do whatever you want. Change your body, change your gender, change this, change that. It's my car, it's my house, my life, I can do whatever I want. For a Muslim, it's fundamentally different. You must remember this for the rest of your life. Who do we submit to? Allah. Who owns us? Allah. Who controls everything that we do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let me tell you something. It is better to be subjugated. It is better to be a slave of Allah than anything else. Wallahi, if you read human history, people have been subjugated in so many ways and it's all resulted in utter failure. We've been experimenting with human bodies for centuries. We've been doing all these things. No, when you submit to Allah, you will have complete happiness and joy. Only when you submit to Allah. Because Allah created you and He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for you. So when He says, don't do this, It's not because he doesn't want you to do it. It's because he doesn't want you to harm yourself. It's actually out of love. You know, when somebody says, why are Muslims against gender change and these sort of things? We're not against the person. We're not against the person. We don't have any agenda them. It's actually the other way around. We love you. We don't want you to go down that direction. We don't want you to destroy yourself because we care about humanity. We care about well-being. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cared about the Quraysh. He cared about people deeply. He didn't want them to go towards destruction. We don't want anyone to go into destruction. That's why we speak up when we see injustice. That is why we speak up when we see dhulam taking place in the world. And the Quran gives us that guidance. So Allah tells us in here, what is haram, what is halal for us. But Allah also tells us, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We reveal to you the best of stories. The best of stories. نَحْنُ, the third verse. نَحْنُ, the royal we. Sometimes Allah says I, and sometimes Allah says we. When he says nahnu in the royal sense, the we, the plural sense, this is telling you Allah is talking to you in a royal sense. We. Nahnu naqussu alayka ahsan al-qasas. We relate to you the best of stories. Now, stories are not to be read just for entertainment. But the fact of the matter is, we are all storytelling animals. What does that mean? Where we learn it through stories. We learn through stories. If I tell you some theory, abstract, scientific theory, you might understand it. But that's advanced learning. Most people here will not be able to understand it. Even in Lamarck or Blackman. That's if you're like a professor, you might get that. But most people, you tell them through stories. You tell a story. If you read a good book, it's a well-written story. Keeps you hooked on. You can't wait to read the next chapter. My daughters do that. Dad, come on, Dad, one more chapter. One more chapter. Dad, one more chapter. Cliffhangers. So a good story is like this. But Allah says, I'm telling you the best of stories. But we're not reading these stories. Remember this. We're not reading this story for entertainment. We're reading this story to take things from it for our own benefit. Every one of you in this room will take something different from the story of Yusuf, inshallah ta'ala, for your own benefit. And you will bring it into your life. عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. So we tell you the best of stories through the Quran. Though before this, he's talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before this, you were totally unaware of them. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, this is important. This is a proof of his prophethood. He was unlettered. In other words, he couldn't read. It's hard to imagine because now we have everything at our fingertips. We can Google, search things, and now we have AI. We were talking about this before, AI, all of these things. But imagine living in a culture where there was no paper. Paper hadn't been invented. We hadn't reached that part of the world. People just memorized things. Rasulullah was not educated. He didn't go to school like we all go and knew no alphabets and grammar. Rasulullah knew none of that. Who educated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did his tarbiyah. And the ulama mentioned one reason for this is that if the Prophet was, say, educated, say he could read or he could understand things, somebody could say, well, you know all about this because you've read the books of people before. You've spoken with maybe priests in Syria or Jews in Yemen, and you know all of this. Rasulullah was a clean slate. He didn't know any of these things. Only Allah revealed it to him. So one mufassir says that the context behind this is some Jews came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to test him. So they said to him, tell us about this prophet called Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, the prophet didn't know anything about this story. So Allah revealed it to him. Can you see? And he told them in such detail that it was told to them better than what they had known. This is proof of his prophecy, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And one of the greatest things about Islam, by the way, as a historical point as well, is that even though my Nabi and your Nabi was not educated, he wasn't educated like we were. We are. He left behind billions of some of the greatest ulama and minds human history has ever known. Billions. When you read their works, I can't tell you this, you have to experience it yourself. Great minds. Names upon names upon names upon names of who people understood the seer of the Prophet ﷺ, who understood the sunnah, who written books upon him. Not just books, but fiqh, aqidah, tasawwuf, all the sciences that we have. So the Prophet gave birth to one of the biggest civilizations in human history. That was Islamic civilization, and they prided themselves on knowledge. One of the things that makes Muslims, me and you, special is that we learn, we study, we're studious people. I tell my daughters we're a house of scholars, even when they're young. I tell them still today, even though they're young, I say, no, we're not going to waste our time. From a young age, talib and tarbiyah, you set the bar high. We're going to be scholars, we're going to learn, we're going to read books, we're going to become the best that we can, we're going to have the most sharpest minds on the planet. So nobody can hoodwink us. So, بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. You are from those who are unaware. So, غافلين comes from the word غافل. غافل کے کیا معنی؟ The meaning of غافل is someone who's heedless. He doesn't know. Right? You are from these people who didn't know. In other words, we should always be people who are learning. The fact that you're sat here, few of you or many of you, doesn't matter. The fact that you're sat here and you're trying to understand what your Rabb is saying is a ni'mah. It's a ni'mah that you sat here and you're learning, even though many of you might not know Arabic. The fact that you're trying to understand what Allah is saying, this is the greatest form of knowledge. And it shows that you're humble people, you're seeking guidance. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People will sit, live as a Muslim their entire life, but they won't know what the Quran is saying. We do not want to become like those people. We do not want to become like those Christian zealots who claim to be Christians, but they've never read the Bible. We don't want to become like those people. We don't want to become like those people who, when we meet non-Muslims, they know more about Islam than us. I've met people like this. People who know more about the Quran than most Muslims who come to pay namaz here. It's a shame upon us if it's like this. So through this, we will learn, inshallah, the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm going to end because I want to stick to my time. As you know, I'm very, very strict about my timing. So this story, it's filled with warnings, reminders, wisdom. And you'll find, inshallah, ta'ala, insights that you'll have never heard before through Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But I also want to add something very, very interesting about this surah as well. You will also see Allah's wisdom. You will also see Allah's complete power over your destiny. And Ashfaq, you cannot change what Allah has written for you. Whatever Allah has written for you, whatever is going to happen in your life is going to happen. You are completely at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see this in this story. In this story, you will follow, if you follow the story through, bad things. But at the end, you will see Allah's wisdom. Because what we do is we see things in the moment, don't we? And we're like, Allah, whoa, hard, it's so hard. But you will follow the story and you will see the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, what Allah does for you is always good for you. Even at that moment time, if in that moment time it seems bad for you, Allah will also show you the way out as well. And so Allah will show us through this story this much, but He will also show us a major sin. And Allah protect us from this. Major sin that you will see in this surah and the harms of it is jealousy and envy. Hasad. Allah gave someone a gift and you wish Allah takes it away from that person. Or you try to impede that person. You know what you're saying in essence? Allah, I know better than you. It sounds harsh. It sounds harsh. Somebody has a nice car. Somebody has a nice life. Somebody has knowledge. All these things, wealth. And you're like, why has he got wealth? This is showing, goya ke ab you keh raha ke I know better than Allah. Does anybody know what's best for you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. So Allah gives some people wealth, it becomes a trial for them. Some people Allah gives no wealth, it becomes a blessing for them. Allah gives to whoever He wishes. So we have no say in this matter. But we also learn a final thing before I end here. I'm only going to do the first few verses. You'll also see what it means to be patient. But not any type of patient. Beautiful patience. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Missing in our day and age because we live in a society, what I call, well, somebody else, an economist says, McDonaldization of society. We want everything quick. It's called McDonaldization of society. But in the Quran, Allah also says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا جَلِّي. We want everything quick. We want everything to happen quickly. Namaz, Imam Sahib, where is he? Time up. Maulana Harun, come on, come on. Yeah, even though he prays quick for you, you still want it quicker. All of the adab is you wait for the imam. You sit down and you wait for the imam. This is what the Prophet ﷺ would taught us. Yeah, that's Abu Bakr said that we didn't stand up until we saw the Prophet ﷺ coming out. Yeah, we would never stand up until the Prophet would come. And if it took time, we wait. Of course, if the imam's up takes too long, which doesn't happen in Lamak, alhamdulillah, then, but we don't tell the imam, Jalo namaz pa. It's not for us to do. We follow the imam, because the imam is the one who's leading the prayer for us. This is the adab of our masajid. So, beautiful patience. You will learn about beautiful patience, and I will end with this, insha'Allah ta'ala, because this chapter is all about patience. And you have to be patient over the next few weeks. You have to be patient over the next few months. That you will see Yaqub alayhi salatu salam was separated from what he loved the most, his son. And Yusuf alayhi salatu salam was separated from what he loved the most, his father. Separated. Remember this separation, it actually makes a heart fonder. And you will see that Yusuf alayhi salam went through so much, Yaqub alayhi salatu salam disappears into the background, that he comes back at the end of the story. And you will see how he went through so much. But at the end, you will see what happens when you're patient in your entire life. People will say bad things about you. You will lose things. Things will come and go. But remember, you will always get back what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. So we will learn about this idea of beautiful patience, inshallah, over the next few weeks. All I can say now is continue coming. Bring the Quran. Bring others. Because my mission in life is to teach people their deen. My job is not to teach you how to make money. My job is not to teach you to become billionaires or famous. My job, and Allah is my witness. Allah is my witness. I will teach you your religion as long as you continue going. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.